It's good to see you at church today. If you have a Bible with you this morning, turn with us to the book of Judges, chapter number 6. Book of Judges, chapter number 6. Right after service today, Brother Adam and Miss Gayla would like to meet with all the teen parents. We're going to try to get camp solidified today, the time and place. We're going to try to go to Brother Robbie Burton's, I think, this summer. They have a great camp there. We know our children to get good Bible teaching, preaching, have a good time of fellowship through the summer. So you be praying for our youth. I'm glad we've got some to get up and sing. And those that are being used to the Lord, and we're grateful of that this morning. Hadn't we been blessed, church? Oh, we've been so blessed. I can tell right after revival, a lot of y'all seem to be revived. But I'm glad this morning we've got a God that is so faithful and so willing to help us. Amen. Let's look at this Bible question, and I'm going to let you be seated this morning. Found the book of Judges, chapter number 6 and verse number 13. We started preaching out of here. This will be our third sermon out of this passage. I intended to deal with one verse, one sermon, but I'm going to try to follow the Lord and finish this thought tonight. But in Judges 6:13, and Gideon said unto him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?" You may be seated this morning. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you how you've helped us last week. And now, God, as we begin this first day of the week today, you've instructed us in your word to gather together. And so now, Lord, we've gathered today, and I've come here to do one thing, that's worship you. And then secondly, to try to deliver my heart that you put in it by the word of God. Help us now, I pray, that you would do that of what only you can do for us today. Help our nation, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Have you thought about what Gideon said? If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? Little did Gideon know what God was going to tell him when he stated that question. Today, me and you, we look around and we wonder, well, if God be with us, then why is all of this happening to us? Well, the reason is the same today as it was 1,000 years ago. It's simply the word called sin. Sin. And so God always judges sin. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And so here, God dealt with Gideon and gave him instructions about the children of Israel having a sin problem. America has a great sin problem today, and I won't dwell on that long, but when you can take and openly kill babies and not call it murder, not only do you have a confused society, but you have a sinful society. When two men and two women can gather together and marry in a church house called God's house, I will assure you, this Bible teaches us that is not God's house. Amen. And so what may be popular, what may be social in America, the Bible gives us guidance. The Bible gives us stability in our lives and for our culture. The problem is, there's really not the lack of the Bible, there's a great lack of hearing the Bible in the day and hour that we live. So, God deals with Gideon, and Gideon told the Lord, he asked him this question, then God said, Gideon, I'm fixing to use you in ways that you never thought. And he said, well, Lord, I'm from the least of the tribes. I'm not much. I have nothing. But God purposed to use Gideon. Can I tell you that God has purposed to use you and me in this day and this hour, and we need to see what God has to say to all of us this morning. Now certainly, Gideon had met the Lord under an oak tree by an angel. There was a great theophany. The Lord Jesus appeared unto himself, and he cried to Gideon, "O thou mighty man of valor." Isn't it amazing? God can see in you, and God can see in me things we can't even see in ourselves. And so now God starts to use a formula that no doubt blew Gideon's mind. There's 135,000 Midianites that had taken control of the nation of Israel. They had run God's people in the dens and the caves and the pits. And at harvest time, when the Israelites had worked and the fruit had come forth, the Midianites would come in, the Bible says, as grasshoppers and destroy all the fruit of the land. That reminds me, the devil may allow you to plant and practice, but he hates for you to get productive in the harvest of God. The devil loves to steal the harvest out of all of our lives. So now there's 135,000. Gideon has 32,000 men. The odds don't look good. Then God told Gideon, he said, "You tell all the people that is fearful to come down off the mountain. I don't want to use them." So there was simply 22,000 that left Gideon that day out of his army, and he's standing there with 10,000. Can I tell you, God is good at whittling us down, getting us down to where God can get the honor and the glory. See, we're never too little for God, but many times we get too big for God. We had a saying in Tennessee where I was raised. My mama would say, "Boy, when your daddy gets home, you got too big for your britches." America's got too big for her britches this morning. And so now there's 10,000 standing with Gideon. He's seen 22,000 leave. And God says, "Gideon, that's still too many." He said, "Lead them down by the water. And those that lay down and drink upon all fours, they're disqualified. But those that go down to the brook and drink like a dog and lap, they'll take in their hand and look and lap." Said, "That's the ones that I want to use." So that day, his army left from 10,000 to 300. And God said, "You know what, Gideon? I've got you in a place to where the numbers are just right." Can I tell you, friend, when you think you are outnumbered, if you've got God, you've got everything. Can I tell you, God don't need high numbers to do great things. All God needs is you, and God needs me to be willing to listen to Him and His instructions. Now, they go up to the mountain. 135,000 Midianites are encamped. Gideon divided these 300 men by 100s. They went up on the mountain. They took with them a pitcher and a candle or a lamp. They took with them a trumpet. And all of a sudden, 300 men separated, broke those pictures. Could you imagine the noise that went out in that darkness of the night to the enemy? And all of a sudden, there was 300 lamps burning on the hillside. And in the right hand, they all had trumpets. And they blew those trumpets. And the Midianites turned upon themselves in the darkness and started destroying themselves. Gideon has seen great things with God. We found Gideon down by the wine press thrashing wheat because he was so fearful of the enemy. He wouldn't get out in the open borders to work, but he hid himself. Gideon was a man that needed great confirmations. You remember last week he put the fleece out. Not once, but he put it out twice. And God gave him confirmations. You know, it's very important in our life that we have those confirmations of what we're doing. Can I tell you, God is so big, He'll prove Himself. Open up your Bible and you can get confirmations in what you need from the Lord. And so here, Gideon was a man that God began to build him and use him. And now I want to deal with one thought this morning, and I won't preach long, but I want you to notice in chapter 8, now that these Midianites have left, there's 15,000 Midianites left. They killed 120,000, but there's 15,000 left. So we pick up now with Gideon in Judges 8 and verse 1. The Bible said, "And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not, when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply." Now here's a tribe of Israel that God did not allow to get in on the battle scene. Gideon did not notify them that he was going to destroy the Midianites. And so now the problem with this tribe, the problem with this group, they've got jealous. The tribe of Ephraim, they were the well-to-do tribe. They stood above many people in how they lived and what they had. And so they chided with Gideon sharply. He said unto them, "What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer?" He said, "What you men have got is a lot better than where I've been. What's your problem?" You know, a lot of times we forget about how good we really have it. Can I tell you, our worst day where me and you live, if you're saved by the grace of God, is the greatest day that any person could ever have. Knowing that God is your God, He is your Father, and your name is written down yonder in glory land. But a lot of times we want to look around, wonder why we were not included and they had an issue. And so here in verse 3, "God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. What was I able to do in comparison of you?" Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And here's verse 4 I want to preach out of a minute. "And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over. He and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them." And I won't preach on that thought this morning. Faint, but pursuing. Faint, but pursuing. You ought to underline that in verse 4. You'll notice, first of all, there's the cost of pursuit. The cost of pursuit. You say, "Well, what was the cost?" Well, first of all, you'll notice that here, Gideon's 300 men, they had been traveling 25 or 30 miles. They had been up all night. And he said, I want you to know, my body is tired. And there's a cost in going for God. Let me tell you what, your body can get tired. You know, a lot of times Jesus said, "When you become weak, then I'm strong. When you become little, then He becomes big." And here we have a group of men with Gideon, and Gideon made this statement. He said, "Lord, I'm tired, but I'm pressing on." If I've ever seen a generation that's tired, we live in a generation that is tired. And there's a cost of this pursuit, the cost of those burdens. My goodness, the burdens of life as they had came through the thickets of the land. They'd crossed creeks, they'd crossed the sandy pits, they'd been through dire circumstances and they'd become tired. Can I tell you, child of God, it's all right to be tired. But Jesus instructs us to come out from among them and be ye separate. It's got to be a time in our lives when we make time to get our batteries charged,
to get along with the Lord and this Bible and our prayer place. My grandchildren soon learned something about an electric golf cart. If you ride it and ride it and just pull it in the barn and never plug it up, when you go to get in it, it don't do nothing. And I think that's the way our lives are many times. We forget to charge our lives because we're pursuing in such a way in life. We've got so many obstacles in our way. You mom and daddies are so busy. You run from daylight to dark, Monday to Saturday. But I want to say something out of pastor's heart. That ain't God's fault. You know, sometimes it's just enough time in the day. And so you got to start doing some math and saying, can I get all that accomplished this week without going crazy? Somebody say amen. And so therefore, we see this cost to the pursuit. We see that they were filled with burdens. They were filled with letdowns. Now in this passage, I won't read it, but I want to say what happened. Gideon came back through this tribe. And there's 300 men with him. And he asked them for bread. And they said, we're not going to give you or your troops bread. And isn't that amazing? People that ought to be kind and helping one another that supposedly be on the same side. Well, my goodness, they could have given them some bread. They were fighting a battle for them, but they got so jealous and they got so conniving, they wouldn't even give their brother bread. Can I tell you this morning, we better realize if we're saved by the blood of Jesus, we're all in the same family. We need to be helping each other, encouraging one another, watching out for one another, and scotching for one another every chance that we get. Amen? And so they had faced great opposition of their family. You know, you'll face opposition of your family when you go for God. Some won't understand you. Gideon simply said that he was faint, but yet pursuing. Wouldn't it be great if everybody liked you? Wouldn't that be great? I don't understand why people don't like me, do you? I don't understand why people don't like you. Now, I understand why some people don't like some of you. But you know, everybody's just not going to like you, are they? But if God is pleased with what you're doing, that's all that matters. And therefore, those that supposed to have been helping, look how discouraging that would be. You think about it. There's 300 men come through the town. They've been fighting battles for you, and they stop and ask you, can we have just a grain of bread? And they slam the door in their face and said, no, we won't help you. Oh, a light ought to come on this morning. We need everybody. We need each other that's standing for what's right, for the honor and the glory of God and helping one another every chance that we get. Now, there's a cost of pursuing. Not only those burdens, but the battles. I want to say something. And this is where you'll get so defeated as a Christian. The battles of you. Have you ever let you down? I'm talking about the cost of pursuing. I'm talking about getting discouraged at you. Have you ever told you that you wouldn't ever do that again, but you did it again? Have you ever said, I won't say that again, but you said it again? Have you ever let you down? And I've noticed in this pursuit of God, not only these burdens, but these battles get so heavy and so discouraging. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He also says this, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. In other words, I've got an option. If there's things in my life that don't line up this Bible, I ought to be working on them and asking God to help me. But I'm going to tell you, inside of this old man is wicked. There's no goodness in me nor in you. The only goodness any of us have is the Lord Jesus Christ that lives in us. And these battles bring fatigue in our life. How many times have I struggled getting over something, and all of a sudden, about the time I got to the top, I was knocked right back down in it. Gideon said, "Man, I'm struggling, but I'm pressing on." Can I tell you this morning, as your preacher, you may be faint, but keep pressing on for the honor and the glory of God. There is a cost of the pursuit. But secondly, there is the cry of the pursuit. Isn't it amazing that Gideon wrote this down in Judges 8:4? Look what he says. "And Gideon came to Jordan." You know what Jordan is? That's a hard crossing place. Jordan has given people a lot of problems through the years in the land of Canaan. When the children of Israel went to cross, it looked impossible to get across. Have any of you ever faced a Jordan in your life that you think you would never get across? And the Lord showed me something here this morning. The Bible said about this cry of the pursuit, Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him. Aren't you glad there's some things in your life and my life that come to pass, that you get over? I hear a lot of people say, "Well, looks like they could get over that." Well, with the Lord, they can get through that. And you'll notice when you pass over something, it looks different when you've passed over it than when you're staring at it. Can I tell you, time does help things in all of our lives. I'd be careful. I'd be real careful that I wouldn't get judgmental and say, "I know how I would handle that situation." Honey, you don't know how you would handle that situation. You don't know where others are. You just know where you are this morning. But I've noticed when I passed over things and I can look back at them, they look different behind me than they did before me. It does not mean that I'll forget about them. You know, that's sort of like forgiveness. Somebody said, "Well, if you forgive somebody, you're supposed to forget it." You can't do that. You're human. Only God forgets and forgives. When we forgive, we release. But let me tell you, it'll still be in your mind when you see them, because you're human. But aren't you glad that every Jordan in your life, by the good grace of God, He can help you get over it? And there's so many people that I've seen year after year, time after time, they're bogged down at Jordan and can't get over it. You let yourself down. Well, you've asked God to forgive you. Why don't you forgive yourself and get victory in the life of Christ? You've let others down. And by the way, I'm so glad we're not a judgmental church this morning. Do we try to do right? Absolutely, yes. But honey, let me tell you, if your children get in trouble, we're not going to strap them to the pew and beat them to death. We're going to try to encourage them and tell them how to get better. And if anybody's looking down at somebody like that, they ain't right with God this morning. Maybe a day when it's your children. Now, I got 4 grandchildren. You know what? They grand. Don't put your mouth on mine. Shake your little baby's head up and down. And don't put your mouth on nobody else's. See about you. Because you'll keep you busy a long, long time. This morning, the cost of pursuit. The cry of pursuit. You notice he got down to Jordan and he passed over. And look, not only him, but the 300 men that was with him. It is possible for you to get over that Jordan in your life, but it's going to take God to help you get over it. There's been people, one of the best friends I've got in my life, Brother Mike, sitting right here. There's been times I've asked Brother Mike something. This is what he said. "Well, preacher, that's just something God's going to have to help you through." The best friends of your life, and I've got them sitting all around this building this morning, there is no doubt that I could come to 99.9% of everybody sitting in this building and say, I need help, you would help me. But there's some things that only God can help me in my life. There's only things that God can do that we need God to do this morning. But thank God we've got each other. Amen. And therefore, there's the cost of pursuit. It's going to cost you something to go for God. People's not going to understand you. Man, I remember when God got to stirring our nest to leave our home church, we had people look at us like, what? Well, God had different plans for us. When I left a job, people looked at me and said, are you crazy? No, everybody's not going to understand you. But if you're going for God and you know God has spoke to your heart, honey, let me tell you, you'll never go wrong following God. There is the cost of the pursuit. There is the cry of the pursuit. But lastly, there is the cause of the pursuit. Why didn't Gideon get bogged down there? Because he had vision. He realized he needed to get something accomplished. Do any of y'all ever see that you need to get something accomplished while you're living here? You say, well, preacher, what do we need to get accomplished? First of all, we got a faith to share. Man, Jesus saves. There's one way to heaven. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not other avenues to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. End of the story. We're saved by grace through faith. Nothing else. Therefore, we have a faith we need to share. Are you sharing your faith? Matter of fact, some of you are in a real dark place. You know why? Because just a little light will go a long way. A lot of you, many of you are working with people seem like they don't love God, know anything about God, don't care about. But you will be amazed how they watch you in your workplace, in your school. We have a faith to share. Second, we have a family to secure. You know, Mom and Daddy, the piano player had come, the devil will never ever show you what your children are getting at church. The other night, after revival, we got ready to leave and one of the members texted me. Just a little old small child heard what the preacher said and made that statement. I remember one time I was preaching toward Cullman, Alabama. There was a little girl playing with her baby doll. I watched her. She was on the second pew. I preached a message on when Jesus cleans out the temple. She went home and at midnight she got her mom and daddy up and said, Mama, Daddy, I want to be saved. That preacher's talking about when Jesus comes in the temple, He wants to come in and clean it up and live. And I want to be saved. You wouldn't think that little child heard nothing I said. But you'll never know how you're impacting your family this morning at the house of God. We have a faith to share. We have a family to secure. Mom and Daddy, your children need stability at your house. They need structure. They don't need to be turned loose in the Piggly Wiggly parking lot at 11 o'clock at night. I doubt if they're having Bible study at the Piggly Wiggly. I doubt it. You say, why you say that? Because I've been a teenager. I know what teenagers do. They need stability. We have a family to secure. Thank God for family. We live in a day and an hour when family's putting on the back burner. But let me tell you, our church will only be as strong as our families are. Well, there is a cause. He came to Jordan, passed over, and the 300 men that were with him faint. Yet pursuing. Many of you today are faint. Just keep pursuing. Keep going for the glory of God. Because there's a cause. We have a faith to share, a family to secure. We have a flock that needs to stand. Thank God for our church this morning. Thank God people love old-fashioned preaching and singing. Trying to live right and doing right the best we can. But ultimately, God gets all the honor and all the glory. We have a future. We're going to sing. You say a future. Yes, I know I'm going to heaven this morning. I know I'm going to heaven because this Bible says I am. I trust my Bible. This is what I want you to do this morning. I want you to stand to your feet.